Welcome to Music Forever, a podcast by the New Horizons International Music Association. I am Irene Cohen. Jennifer Williams has been making music and teaching piano for more than 45 years, inspiring everyone from beginners to seasoned band players. She leads the Shire Concert Band, the Shire New Horizons Bands, and the Sydney Southeast Symphonic Winds in Sydney, Australia, and has also created school music programs, concerts, and camps along the way. Recognized with the Cook Community Award and trained at Trinity College London, she's passionate about sharing the joy of music with her community. When she's not waving a baton or sitting at the piano, you'll likely find her traveling, cooking up something delicious, or playing games with friends and family. Ralph Williams is a proud member of the New Horizons Band in Sydney, Australia. While music has always been a big part of his family's life, that is his wife Jennifer and their children, his own musical journey began later in life at the age of 61. For most of his working years, Ralph was involved in sport and focused on raising his children. He loved music deeply, but he never imagined himself as a player until retirement gave him the time and opportunity to explore that part of life. With Jennifer's wonderful encouragement, he joined the New Horizons Band in the beginner group and took up the bass clarinet. And just 6 months later, he progressed to the intermediate band, and within the year, he was performing at concert band level. Within 2 years, he began playing with the Shire Band, a sister group to the New Horizons Band, more aimed at secondary school students working at a grade 3 to 5 level. It's been a joy for Ralph to be part of such a talented and enthusiastic group. He plays in 3 community concert bands and a jazz band each week, and he's having the time of his life. This interview was done in September 2025, via Zoom. Welcome, Ralph and Jenny, all the way in Sydney, Australia. This is the furthest podcast that I've done, and it is absolutely wonderful to have you on this podcast. And soon we will be meeting live because you are actually coming to Canada to the upcoming Mont Tremblant camp in October. So it'll be wonderful to see each other live. So, Ralph, our first question always is, how did music get in your life?
Thank you for the introduction, Irene. And looking forward to the band camp. It's only a few weeks away. My family, when I was young, didn't play music. There was no musicians in the family. Primary school, we didn't have any bands or anything like that. In high school, it was a boys' high school, so it was football and those type of things. And there are some people around the place who think I still live in the 60s, listening to things like Crosby, Stills, Nash, Moody Blues, all those middle-of-the-road, semi-folky type things on the way through, which I still love listening to. Starting a working career, I've always liked music, so I regularly would go with friends to musicals, everything from, in those days, Jesus Christ Superstar to Cabaret and all the different shows. And my interest was always with work and then sport, and I'd play sport all year round. And I had one particular friend who is still a friend after all these years who used to play in a community band and say, you should join. It's like, John, I don't have time to do that. No, that's not something I do. I'm a sporting person. I keep myself busy that way. We've been married for 44 years, pardon me, last week. And Jenny's always played music. And one of the things that always would seem to come up when she'd be teaching someone piano was you need to practice. And I think, well, it's the same as sport and things like that. You've really got to get there. If you want to do something and work on it, you need to practice. And I think, I don't have time to practice. So no, I'm not a musical person like that. Both of our children play multiple instruments and played from the time they were basically not much more than preschoolers. And I was the one who used to drive them around and go to concerts. Over the years, we've been to jazz concert, seen some amazing performers on the way through. Jenny and I saw Chuck Mangione, and for his encore, Dizzy Gillespie came out and played. And it was the most amazing concert show you could ever see. And, you know, there's numerous other ones, everything from Paul McCartney and back. But to me, that was one that just stood out. And since that time, I've really loved jazz as well. I was always listening to it, not playing it. And that, for me, changed 8 years ago when the wonderful Jenny broke a leg and I took time off work. And my plan had always been when I got close to retirement, I'd play golf and maybe learn a musical instrument. But it was, yeah, something to do with sport. She conducts multiple bands and is music director and all that as well. And I got there on one particular day and said, I think I'd like to learn a musical instrument. And it was like, yes. And the next day, one of the other band people that we knew turned up with a bass clarinet. And it's almost like from that point on, it was history. When I said I was going to learn a musical instrument, you just decided I was playing bass clarinet. But all the students you had when you're in these school bands, they all get to try a flute and a clarinet and a trumpet to see what their embouchure's like and how they'd play. And she said, I didn't need that. I needed a bass clarinet in the band, so you're in.
So Jenny, tell us a little bit how music got in your life. I'm sure it's a whole different story.
Very much so. My parents put me into piano lessons when I was five, not because I was gifted, but because they thought that they would be moving to the country and they didn't know if there would be a teacher there. And so for the year before they planned to move, I had lessons with a lovely Mrs. Butcher. And I had lessons with her until she died when I was 30.
Oh, wow.
I was the student who enjoyed playing but was never very talented, I don't think. Yeah, so I did a lot of piano and then I became a piano teacher. And when we had children in my early 20s and they started school and I went to the local school for the first Easter Hat Parade and heard the choir singing with a cassette backing track, I spoke to the choir teacher and I said, would you like me to come and do the accompaniment for you? So I went in the next week and did that. And the following week, I was called to the principal's office and he said, I believe you're quite a good musician. And I went, well, you know, I can play piano. And he said, would you like to take the choir? Because the choir teacher can't really read music and she was hoping you could do that. And I said, well, I could probably learn. So I did the choir for a year and then the following year he called me to the office and said, we'd like to have a school band. Can you take the band program? And the Department of Education here in New South Wales was running a program where they would train the teachers. Although I was just a parent, they said, yeah, we can train you. And so I had 2 years of training, half a day a week with a music teacher in front of a band and how to do that. And then with other conducting and stuff. So at one stage I was running 18 school band programs and it was just a ridiculous amount of work. And then I broke my leg. The doctors had been saying, you really need to do less. And my friends and family were saying, you need to do less. And then someone else decided I should do less and I broke my femur. So it was 6 months in a wheelchair and then, you know, quite a long time on a walking frame. So that meant that I was then out of schools. And so that was a very life-changing time for both Ralph and I because he was running a large museum in the city and then one day he wasn't because he was home caring for me. And now I'm a conductor with adults. Mm-hmm. We have community band that is mainly high school students. I run the Sydney Region Band, which is a middle school group with 110 kids. They performed at the Opera House last week, which is very exciting. And then, of course, we have the New Horizons Band, which we started 10, 11 years ago with just a handful, but now we have 70 members and, you know, that's a very big part of our life as well. So that's my musical journey.
It's a wonderful journey, and some things are standing out. One is the story that you just decided to walk up to somebody and say, I can accompany you in your choir, and the next thing you know is you are responsible for an entire school band. And secondly, the broken leg has come up several times now, which seems to indeed have been, and it sounds like a horrendous injury, seems like a turnaround point in both your lives. So, Ralph, what was your job before you retired?
I worked at one of the biggest museums in Australia, the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences in Sydney, called the Powerhouse Museum. Everything from ticket sellers at the front door, all the floor staff, all the events side of things. So basically, whenever the museum was open, it was my staff looking after it.
Obviously, you were in the world of arts.
Yeah, cultural institutions. Or that I was at the Royal Botanic Gardens looking after all their commercial operations. So the latter half of my working career was in culture and arts, which I loved. That was absolutely fantastic.
Being that person who is in charge of the operations of rather large institutions, soon I will ask you a question, what it feels like to be playing the bass clarinet in your wife's band, because that is a very different role. But before I do that, Jenny, your background obviously was piano. Did you have family who was musical that influenced you at all?
My siblings both played, but it was my mother's gentle encouragement. Mum didn't have the opportunity to learn as she grew up, but was very keen for us to have, you know, a good education and to have the opportunity to play an instrument. So that was, mind you, I was 40 when I learned to catch a ball. So I never did team sports. There was some things in my overall life that I was a little bit short on, but I could play the piano.
That is very important. It led to important things in life, obviously. Let's talk a little bit about how New Horizons then got in your life. You said you started it about 10 or 11 years ago.
Yeah, so we have some close friends who had the local local music shop in our district. And they had been across to a conference in New York and had met up with Roy Ernst. And he said, oh, you should come and see what we're doing. It's so good. And they did. And that was a long time ago. That was maybe even 20 years ago.
John and Carol, who Jenny's talking about, we were on a holiday in Tonga to go swimming with whales. And while we were there, the place we stayed at, a little, I'll say, almost resort, six bungalows, the lady who ran it was a person named Patty. And we were talking about music and what we do and things like that. And it was about 13, 14 years ago. And Patty said, oh, my ex-husband runs this band program. It's called New Horizons. I'll put you in touch with him. And then picking up Jenny's story, John and Carol went over there and spoke with Roy and saw what the program was all about. Not long after they got back, we were having a feed with them and sitting in their lounge room, and they said, this is what New Horizons is. It's these older people. Some can play, some can't play. It looks really community good and based. Do you think we could do something like that here in Sydney? And everyone's going, yeah, that could work. No, we'll need a hall somewhere, because very few of the community programs actually have links to a school or a university or a college or anything like that. They're all basically self-funded, independent. But let's kick it off and just see what happens. So from my memory of it, the first rehearsal had six or seven people there. 11 years later, as Jenny says, we have 70 or 80 people and four different bands.
Fantastic. And a common story, you know, we do a lot of these interviews and there are a lot of groups who have grown very quickly.
We are currently in a scout hall, which is so nice because we've had that for 18 months now, and we're the only people who use it, so we can leave the room set up.
The challenges for community groups is indeed having the space, having the conductor, all that sort of stuff. And It is an ongoing challenge, and I'm sure you find that as well.
We have a beginners group that we start each year. And sometimes people will learn a second instrument, but they're normally actual greenies coming in. And they work their way through book one from Essential Elements and about half of book two in the year. And then the intermediate group works in book two and music between grade one and 2.5. And then our concert band, which has, I think, about 45 or 50 players, and we've stopped now because we can't fit any more people in.
Mm-hmm.
We do grade 2.5 to 4, and we work through the Essential Elements technique, which is like the equivalent of their grade 3. We use that at the beginning of each lesson to work on our different skills. And then we have our jazz band, which is taken by our friend John Brandman. We all meet on a Thursday, so it's very busy. And people coming and going. And of course, there's half an hour set aside for the communal morning tea, which is very important. There's a little bit of a bake-off competition going on between the different members.
In North America, we call it a coffee break, and you call it your tea break. It just shows that there are a few differences. There is tea, by the way, at our coffee break, but we...
And there is coffee at our tea break.
So you are conducting Ralph, I assume. Is he in one of your bands? Yes. How's that going?
That's fine. Because I also conducted my own children through their school bands as well, I'm a different person when I stand up on the podium. You know, that's a different person, and I show no favoritism. And he says he often gets into trouble more than other people, and he doesn't get very many chocolates, because when people answer the question correctly, you know, I'll throw chocolates out during rehearsal, and he gets very excited when he gets it right and he gets a chocolate. But no, I think for him, the biggest change was when he actually went into a band where I wasn't the conductor, and he got to make his own friends and see that there were other ways to do things that can be right as well.
Let's hear from the man himself and see how he's experiencing all this.
Having watched so many conductors over time, and like going to concerts and everything from that to symphony orchestras and all the rest, there's definitely a difference in conductors and style and everything else like that. So I'll be really biased and say Jenny is a really good conductor. She knows how to work the people and get involvement and all things like that. So I usually don't have a problem with that at all. The good thing about it really is living with the conductor like that means that people who can get lost in music, and we all do it at times, I just get the score because I've always got the scores here. And I can work out what I've got to do or who comes in where. I remember early on the daughter saying, how come you've got no pencil marks on your music? Yeah, you write everything up there. That way you don't have to remember it. It's all written on your music. So now my music is covered with pencil marks. Most of the things from Jenny saying, I want that louder, or I want that different, or something on the way through that little touch to it. I can cope with having a wife and music conductor out the front.
In which way has it changed you, do you think, now that you are a musician?
My original plan, as I said, when I retired, I'd play golf and then maybe learn a musical instrument. Nowadays, I play golf once a year, and it's usually a very bad game still. And now I play in 4 bands. And I think the biggest difference is, well, there's 2 parts. Music is such good fun to do, and I've liked music for so long. To be able to get there and play it is great, and to play it with other people is even better. When I started, I was determined I was going to not be the person who couldn't play and be in the beginner band forever. So I practice, and I still practice all the time now. And I've got my own music room at home here. And if it's like, I got nothing to do for half an hour, I can just get there on the bass clarinet and work on a piece, or work on part of a piece that I'm having trouble with. And it's like, that works. And you get to the next rehearsal and no, it didn't work. And the other part of it is, we've got a jazz group, and I'd said to our jazz conductor at the time, who's moved on to other things, I'd really like to play in it. And he got there and said, well, you can't play bass clarinet in a jazz band. To overcome that problem, I went and bought a tenor sax. so I could play in the jazz group. Now trying to play two instruments, and that changed so much of my life to get there and do it and the enjoyment of it, and then doing performances and things like that, stuff that I never thought I would ever get there and do.
It's interesting that Ralph's profession, when he was working, organising large exhibitions and things like that and crowd control, has come in so handy. Whenever there's a concert, I say, okay, Ralph, would you like to be stage manager? And can you sort that all out for me? And you know, it's wonderful. And we can do that with so many of the people within New Horizons that have those skills that they bring from their previous life.
Right.
That, you know, whether they are good at applying for grants or accounting or organising tours, all of those sorts of things, you know, where there's such a wealth of knowledge within the nest of New Horizon.
To be in this group of people who are either semi-retired or retired with big lives before they arrive to New Horizons is very special. So how did New Horizons International come in your life?
When John and Carol were talking to us about what they'd seen in New York, it was a no-brainer that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So we reached out and went, what have you got? And we got the information about how best to do it. Mm-hmm. We tweaked it a little bit for Australia. The New Horizons International has been great like that. And the water cooler gatherings on Zoom have been inspirational for me to talk to other directors. Although I have a lot of friends in Australia who are musical directors, no one else has a group like New Horizons because we're the only one in Sydney and we come with our own issues. So, yeah, so it's nice to just have the ability to talk to someone who understands the successes and the problems.
And the water coolers you're talking about all started during the pandemic when we were very worried about our directors and our conductors, that they would lose their groups, that they would lose interest. You know, for many years, people weren't coming together. And we thought, well, we can't lose these wonderful people. How can we gather them together? And so it was the idea of several of our board directors to say, let's start this online professional development group. And the water cooler is sort of an open meeting. We'll just talk about whatever people want to talk about. And sometimes there's a PD session with an actual topic. But you're right, there seems to be a lot of support. We always see people who want to start a group or who have just started a group who join these sessions. They find it very, very helpful and useful to get the information from the more veteran groups.
I was lucky as the pandemic hit because I tend to do professional development myself each year in our summer break, which is January. Then we got locked down for COVID in February. And we ended up, what we did was we set assignments each week for our different ensembles. And they did some theory work. We worked through some grade one and grade two of the theory books. And so they would have their assignments each week. They would have to record themselves at home and send it to me and they get feedback on it. And so that was wonderful to be able to do that. And that came out of one of those water cooler sessions. I thought, yeah, well, I could do that.
So you are heading for North America soon. And we were very, very honored when we received an email from you showing your interest in joining an actual band camp that is going to take place here in Canada in less than a month in Quebec, in Mont-Tremblant. And of course, it is incredible that people are literally coming from the other side of the world to join us during a beautiful season in the mountains. Can you tell us a little bit how come you're going to do this and what your expectations are for us to what do you think is going to happen at the camp?
I went, well, the band camp sounds like a really good idea because we hadn't been to Canada and we could get there and do Vancouver Island as well. That'd be really nice. And while we're there, as I was saying, we could see our children and they could come up to Montreal And it was like, well, that all fits together. That's a good idea. We're not doing anything this year in October. Let's do it.
And the kids have come up from New York City, where you were saying earlier your son and daughter-in-law lives with a grandchild.
Yes, that's very exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So for me, it was a bit of a no-brainer. It would be, why not go? And yes, there is some expense involved. Yes, my husband does point that out to me. And I go, yeah, but we can't take it with us. Let's just do it. I'm looking forward to being in some ensembles and not being in charge, because I'm never just playing in an ensemble. So I'm always in charge. So that's just to be one of the band members is something I'm really looking forward to.
I think one of the other things that helped reinforce the idea of going there, as we were in New York, we thought there's a new Horizons band in New York. We should go and see what they're doing. So we got in contact with them and said that, can we come down to your rehearsal? We happened to be there the day they were rehearsing and didn't have any instruments. So we both, Jenny and I, played percussion. Or during the rehearsal, the conductor said, we've got a performance on Saturday. It's like a street fair and we're playing. Do you guys want to come along and play with us? Yeah. Okay. This was just like New Horizons in Australia. Someone comes along and says, no, I've been, because we've had a couple of people from the States come to Australia and said, we've heard about New Horizons. Can we come to a rehearsal? And it was like, yeah, come and join in. You'll be fine. We'll find an instrument for you. So we did that in New York as well. And it was like, it's just like ours. This is New Horizons. So as Jenny said, it was a no-brainer for the camp to say, that looks exactly the same. And having watched some of the videos from the past camps that have been run, thought that's like one of our normal rehearsal sessions, only over a whole week.
I'm sure people will be very excited to hear their friends and colleagues from Australia tell their musical story. Thank you so much for doing this interview, and looking forward to making a lot of noise in October together and getting remarks from the sidelines as to what we could have done better.
Thank you, Irene. Yes, I'll be on my best behavior.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you both.
Thank you, Irene. That's really good. And just don't let it pick up a stick.
I would like to thank Jennifer and Ralph Williams for doing this interview. If you would like to find out more about their New Horizons band in Sydney, Australia, please go to theshirebands.com. Music for this podcast by Mary Riddle, Swag On. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Music Forever. If you are interested to be interviewed for this podcast, please email us at nhimapodcast@gmail.com. That is nhimapodcast@gmail.com. See you next time.